Mrs. Varner.
Welcome back.
May it please the court. The issue before you in this...
And despite what that shows, right, your time had not expired before you began.
The issue before this court today is what role did Mr. Reyles Valdovinos play in the underlying conspiracy? This court has stated that the question should be a simple one, asking, did Mr. Reyles Valdovinos help to manage or supervise the conspiracy? What the parties can agree on is that Mr. Valdovinos was a large-scale distributor in this case. However, being a large-scale distributor is not enough. In applying the role adjustment in Mr. Reyles Valdovinos' case, the district court credited the testimony of Mr. Hernandez Barahono, who was a courier in the organization. The district court stated that during the time that the leader of the organization, Mr. Vasquez Gonzalez, was out of the country, Mr. Hernandez Barahono received drugs from Reyles Valdovinos, received orders from him, and specifically the district court said that the orders that he received were pick up the money fast, bring it to Chicago, and take more drugs south. Additionally, the district court found that Mr. Reyles Valdovinos coordinated the receipt of money and drugs, and Mr. Hernandez Barahono kept Mr. Reyles Valdovinos appraised of the progress of the sale of the drugs. It's our position that under this court's decision in Weaver, the conduct of Mr. Reyles Valdovinos is not enough in this case to be looked at as a manager or supervisor. In the Weaver case, this court found that the defendant in that case was in the business of fronting narcotics only. And factors that were important in that case was that the defendant did not indicate the price that had to be charged for the drugs, did not set territorial limits on the sale of the drugs, didn't set quotas that had to be hit for the drug sales, that if the drugs were not sold, that debt remained just as a lender. In that case, Weaver, the court found that what the defendant had done was pushed his wares aggressively and demanded prompt payment for receipt of the drugs. And that is, I believe, the case that's before you today. There are a number of factors that are set forth under 3B1.1 in Note 4 that this court, while they're not determinative, this court has found instructive in asking what role the defendant played in the offense. And those factors include exercise of decision-making authority, nature of participation, which is kind of a strange factor, recruitment of accomplices, claim to a larger share of the profits, participation in planning or organizing, nature and scope of the activity, and the degree of control and authority. Under those factors, we don't believe that Mr. Reyles Valdovinos' participation was enough. What we don't see in this case, which has been important in other cases under 3B1.1, is any role in recruiting. There was no testimony during the hearing that Mr. Reyles Valdovinos ever acted to bring anyone into the conspiracy. Negotiation of price. He didn't in any way instruct any of the members what price had to be charged for the drugs after they left Chicago and went south. There was no evidence that he in any way led or instructed the day-to-day operations of the conspiracy. He in no way determined details or logistics of what would happen once the drugs left his possession and headed south. He didn't assign others to attend to those same details. He didn't...
Counsel, you sound like you're making an argument as if we were the triers of fact. We aren't. You need to show that the district court's findings are clearly erroneous. Why do you think they were clearly erroneous?
Well, the clearly erroneous standard says that this court will reverse if there's the definite conclusion that a mistake has been made. And I just, there's no evidence on the record to support the district court's finding that he managed or supervised.
Let's look at what has been invoked. Okay, threatening others, threatening to replace others, threatening to shut the operation down, providing the van with the trap, and perhaps most important, handling Vasquez's clear leadership responsibilities when Vasquez went back to Mexico. Why is it clearly erroneous? First of all, are those facts supported in the record? And if they are, why would it be clearly erroneous to reach this conclusion?
I don't believe all of those facts are supported by the record. The PSR listed stated explicitly that Salvador Navarro was in charge of operations while Vasquez Gonzalez was out of the country. There's no indication. Mr. Reyes-Valdovino's participation that was alleged by the government at the time of sentencing consisted of two calls in July of 2010 and 11 calls in September of 2010, stretching over 6 days.
Well, that's when they had him on tape, right?
Correct.
But wasn't there evidence that he was the guy that Ruelas was the guy who stepped in when Vasquez went back to Mexico?
No, Your Honor. One thing that was argued in the briefs was that the government stated that we did not object to paragraphs, I believe it's 25 and 26 of the PSR, which indicated some stronger conduct from Mr. Reyes-Valdovinos, that he could close the company, that he could end or develop new drug contacts. However, it's our position that we did object to this role enhancement and that a fair reading of our objection has to include those facts which would support that enhancement. And those facts in paragraphs 25 and 26
were those contrary facts. Was there any contrary evidence provided?
No, Your Honor, but there was also no evidence provided in support of that contention.
I thought it was from the recordings.
That's what the paragraphs in the PSR said, but that wasn't those phone calls weren't introduced at the time of sentencing. There was no evidence
introduced. They wouldn't be if there were no specific objection.
And it's our position that we did object to that role enhancement and that those facts particularly support that role enhancement, that we did not have to object.
The theory is that if you object to the enhancement, that stands as an objection to all information that might be relied upon to support it.
To the facts in the PSR that would support that enhancement. And it's also important to note
I mean, that's just a totally unworkable standard for the judge, right?
It's also important to note on that fact, Your Honor, that at sentencing, the judge never adopted the facts in the PSR. And when he did apply this enhancement to sentencing, he never mentioned those facts in the PSR. What was relied upon and credited was the testimony of Hernandez Barahona and the interaction between Reyes-Valdovinos and Hernandez Barahona during that time period when Vasquez Gonzalez was out of the country. So I don't believe it's clearly established that Reyes-Valdovinos was anyway leading that conspiracy. The text of the phone calls, which we added to the record, which were exhibits at sentencing, show a monetary interest in those drugs leaving Chicago, just like Weaver. Mr. Reyes-Valdovinos had someone that he had to pay, and in Vasquez Gonzalez's absence, he simply checked in with Hernandez Barahona about the drugs. When you read all of those phone calls together, the question that's asked is, where's the money? Is the money coming back to Chicago? Have you sold the drugs? Where's the money? And do I need to get more drugs? And that's simply a distributor relationship. I see I'm in my rebuttal time, so with respect, I would reserve the rest of my time.
Certainly, counsel. Mr. Zander.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Stuart Zander for the United States. The district court adequately addressed the appellant's argument and mitigation at sentencing, where the appellant was found to be a manager supervisor in the cocaine conspiracy. The decision was clearly not erroneous. The appellant questions about the PSR. The PSR actually was adopted. It was not adopted orally on the record, but it was adopted, and you can note that in docket 1200 in the case. In the docket, in the PSR, it states in paragraph 25, the appellant had the ability to close down the company, the conspiracy. Additionally, in paragraph 26, during the time Vasquez Gonzalez was in Mexico, the appellant had taken over Gonzalez's role as the head of the conspiracy and had the ability to end and develop new contacts for drug sales. That alone clearly establishes 3B1.1B.
I'm hearing conflicting factual assertions by counsel about who took over when Vasquez went to Mexico. Can you point me to something in the record here?
The only thing I can point to is the PSR in the sentencing record, where in paragraph 26 is that based upon the evidence provided, that when Gonzalez left to go to Mexico, that the appellant took over the head of the organization. There's no actual testimony in the sentencing hearing to that effect, as it wasn't objected to, the paragraph wasn't objected to at the time. Okay. But additionally, Hernandez-Barahona testified that he directly reported to the appellant. He directly reported everything that was going on. He would give play-by-plays of what was happening in St. Louis when he was coming back. He actually had a play-by-play when the police were seizing the drugs and money in a car of his. He actually called the appellant while it was happening and literally gave him a play-by-play.
At the risk of confusing matters here a little further, let me just ask, I apologize to both counsel if I mix this up, but I understood the district judge not to have actually imposed the 3B1.1 three-level adjustment for Ruelas, but instead to have imposed a three-level am I confusing this with Mr. Navarro? Sorry, never mind. I'm confusing Navarro and Ruelas. I apologize.
It's okay, Your Honor.
I do have some questions about Navarro, but go ahead.
Well, you keep referring to appellant?
Yes.
And I get confused between the two also. Navarro and RV, I call him. So use names just so I know what you're talking about.
I will, Your Honor. Additionally, if you look at U.S. v. Weaver, this court looked at control and being able to sanction the individual that he was supervising. In this instance, we have Baronito, who directly reported to RV and reported his actions to him. And RV had the ability to actually sanction Baronojo. He talked to Baronojo directly and told him, because of the seizures, he believed he was stealing from him and that he was going to kill him. He also indicated that he would get the Mexican cartel to come after him and find out exactly what was going on. Additionally, after the September seizure, RV talked to his wife and they discussed actually killing Barahona. And then he had discussions again with Navarro to go down with RV to St. Louis and kill Barahona. He definitely had the ability to sanction him. He had the ability to punish him for screwing up.
I think I've got my confusion straightened out, so let me focus on Ruelas. The district judge said that he would apply the upward adjustment under 3B1.1B to Ruelas. He then said, if that's not appropriate, then an appropriate upward departure under 3B1.1 application note 2 would be appropriate.
Correct.
And I guess my question for you and Ms. Varner is that would seem to indicate to me that whether the district judge got the supervisor adjustment exactly right might well be harmless.
Correct, Your Honor. He noted that the district stated that in the alternative, he would find the supervisory role under U.S. v. Doe, and then additionally, any error was harmless in the circumstance. As the district court noted, he would sentence the appellant to the same sentence if RV was not given the leadership role. Therefore, and he upward departed even beyond the sentencing guidelines based upon RV's role and in this conspiracy. So even if the court would send this back to the district court indicated that he would re-sentence him to the exact same sentence. And to go even further about his role in the conspiracy, he talked to Navarro, directing Navarro to open up the stash house, which was Gonzalez's house to transfer cocaine and money. And additionally, what you referred to earlier about the van, where he supplied a van to the conspiracy, told them where to hide the cocaine, and told them where to hide the money.
Mr. Zander, this panel is taking, as we may have signaled, both the Navarro appeal, where an Anders brief has been filed, and the Ruelas appeal. And I've got some concerns about the Navarro appeal. The plea agreement states in several, in more than one place, that the government will recommend a sentence within the guideline range found by the court.
Are you talking about the Navarro case?
Navarro. And appeal was waived for Navarro only if the sentence was within the guideline range. What concerns me is that the government in the sentencing hearing argued for an above the guideline range, which looks like a breach of the plea agreement.
In the Navarro case, I don't know that case. In this case, this was an open plea for RV.
Okay, you're not familiar with the Navarro facts?
No, I'm not. I was the underlining attorney on this case that actually retired.
You're off the hook on this one then.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But we'll still have to deal with that. And I will say that if it turns out that the record indicates a breach of the plea agreement in the sentencing hearing, you all might want to consider conferring with defense counsel and working out an agreed resolution in the Navarro case.
Any further questions? Otherwise, I'll rest on my brief.
Thank you very much, counsel. Anything further, Ms. Varner?
I would like to direct the court's attention to paragraph 31 in the PSR, which says...
do we have the PSR in front of us?
I don't know if you do. I know that it was transmitted in the record as a sealed document. But paragraph 31 of the PSR, this answers your question about Mr. Navarro, specifically says he oversaw the organization's operations during Vasquez-Gonzalez's absence. And then the other paragraphs that were referenced had some facts about Reyes Valdovinos, but did not say that he oversaw the organization. My second point is your question about the three-level adjustment based on the application notes for management responsibility over the property, assets, or activities of a criminal organization. I don't believe that can be applied to Mr. Reyes Valdovinos unless you were willing to say that being a distributor in the conspiracy is the same as having management or supervisory over the assets of the organization. The case that I looked at in regards to that was Young, 590F3rd 467, and that was a massage parlor that offered sexual services. And the defendant in that case, application note was used for her sentence because it was found that she didn't set the fee structure for the massage parlor, but she assigned masseuses, collected proceeds, and managed the day-to-day operations of the massage parlor. So in my mind, something similar in a drug conspiracy would be he rode in the van and distributed the drugs to the actual people every time they went out and then collected the money. I don't think simply serving as a distributor would meet that application note.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Varner.
Thank you.
The case is taken under advisement. We'll hear argument next in the case.